Well, good morning and welcome to Revival 2025. And we thank you all for being here. It's wonderful seeing all of you on this beautiful afternoon. I'd like to begin this message by asking you a question. What does a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer have in common? They are all occupations that require perseverance. Soldiers, athletes, and farmers all face adversities which require tremendous patience and steadfast endurance to achieve their respective goals, whether it is prevailing in battle, winning a competition, or reaping a bountiful harvest. So this afternoon's message, I titled it Soldiers, Farmers, and Athletes for the Truth. So let us read from the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul offers Timothy three-word pictures to help him cut through the confusion and focus on what is important: the soldier, the farmer, and the athlete. And Paul is writing from a Roman prison, and he's persevering through this. And he's encouraging Timothy to persevere in faith. And he highlights the benefits of perseverance in the faith. And so why does Paul begin with the example of a soldier? Well, Paul wants us to understand that the Christian life is spiritual warfare. And soldiers do not expect a soft or easy life. And soldiers take hardship as a matter of course. And soldiers are ready to take risks, including risking their own lives. And above all, soldiers fight to win. You know, I have an enormous amount of respect for men and women who put on military uniforms and serve their country with honor and courage. And I also have enormous respect for Christian soldiers who go into spiritual battle, risking persecution and their own lives, often taking the gospel behind enemy lines into countries where it is forbidden to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the spiritual battle, there are only two kinds of people: victims and victors. So if you want to be a victor in spiritual warfare, you must learn the rules of the battlefield. And to win this war, you cannot watch the battle from the sidelines. You must step out into the battlefield. You must risk being wounded and bloodied. And why are secular forces, the atheists in academia, the anti-Christians in the media, and the secularists in government having so much success in eradicating the Bible worldview from our society? Well, it's because Christians have surrendered the battlefield. Christians have surrendered the public schools, the universities, the halls of government, the entertainment media, the news media, and on and on. And when Christians deserted the battlefield, the non-believers took over. So when Christians surrendered the battlefield of the mainline denominations, the non-believers took over. Whenever there has been a battle for some segment of our society, the non-believer have fought for dominance and the Christians have given up and moved away. The hardship was too painful and the conflict too unpleasant. So the Christians just ran up the white flag of surrender. Here, the Apostle Paul's message to Timothy and to us is this. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. My friends, ministry is a service, and a minister-soldier of the gospel is primarily a servant of God's word, boldly and courageously sharing its message. He treasures the word of God and defends it tirelessly, being careful to communicate its truth with absolute accuracy. And this is no easy task, because the word of God faces violent opposition. So the minister of God's word learns that patience, endurance, and hard work are necessary for success in his calling. So now let's talk about athletes for the gospel. Next, Paul uses the image of an athlete to illustrate how we are to faithfully entrust the truth of the gospel to reliable people who will in turn teach others. In verse 5, he writes, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." As spiritual athletes, we do not compete against one another. We do not try to outperform one another. I mean, where would that get us? Our opponent isn't fellow Christians, but the world, the flesh, and the devil. In ancient Greece, the winning athlete was crowned with an evergreen wreath. To win the wreath, an athlete had to compete according to the rules. A Greek runner could not take a shortcut to the finish line. A Greek javelin thrower could not step over the running mark while throwing. A Greek discus thrower could not set foot outside the throwing circle. Athletes must compete according to the rules. An athlete who breaks the rules forfeits the evergreen crown. So you and I, you know, we may not look like athletes. We may not compete in a foot race for an Olympic medal, but we are athletes for Jesus. We are in the race of our lives. And we must run our race not according to our own whims and desires, but according to the rules Jesus has put in place. And in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." There are many people today, including many within the church, who want to rewrite the rules of the race. They have invented new rules for a reinvented Christianity. They have invented new rules for a feel-good Christianity that has no moral judgment, no cross, no talk of sin, no need for repentance, and no hell. They have invented new rules for a prosperity gospel in which we don't serve God. He serves us, and his will for our lives is a mansion with a Mercedes in the driveway. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." So if you run your race by the wrong set of rules, my friends, you'll reach the end of your life, and you're going to find it has all been wasted. You won't find the rules of the spiritual race in the words of some silver-tongued false preacher. You will only find the Lord's rules in his word, the Holy Bible. Now let's look at farmers for the gospel. The next image Paul gives us is that of a hardworking farmer. And farming in Paul's day was backbreaking work. There was no mechanized farm equipment during that time. Tilling the soil in those days was conducted by an ox, a plow, and a very strong man. He would do his job whether the soil was good and rich or hard and rocky. He worked in good weather and bad. He did not have the luxury of saying, "I don't feel like planting this year. I think I'm going to take a few weeks off." He didn't have the luxury at harvest time to say, "I just feel like gathering the crop. I don't feel like gathering the crop today. I think I'm going to take a mental health day." That wouldn't go very well. As the book of Proverbs warns, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. And that is why Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And Paul is telling us that we need to be very diligent and careful in tilling the soil of our lives and our character. My friends, a Christian life and ministry requires a lot of hard work and patience. And we need to daily sow the seed of the Word of God into our lives. And if we do, we will harvest a crop of holiness and blessing in our lives and to others. So let's summarize this for a minute. There can be no victory for the soldier who does not fight. There can be no wreath for the athlete who breaks the rules. There can be no harvest for the farmer unless he tills the soil, plants the seed, and gathers the crop at harvest time. The Lord Jesus has called us to be soldiers, athletes, and farmers for the gospel. And Paul sums this up in verse 7. "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." When you read the Bible, do you reflect on what God is saying to you through His Word? Or do you read the Bible so you can just check the box on your to-do list? "Okay, well, I read the Bible today." In James 1, 23 through 24, tells us, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." James is describing someone who reads the Bible without applying its truth to his life. He's describing a person who reads without reflecting and meditating on the word. This passage in James reminds us of why we need to pray before reading the Word of God. My friends, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us is the same Spirit who inspired and authored the Bible. So if we will seek the leading and filling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will open our eyes to the wonderful treasures in God's Word. My friends, when I'm alone with the Word of God open before me, and I quiet my thoughts, and I meditate on the words, the Lord God is speaking to my heart, and I can feel it. And it's like it's saying to me, you know, at times, "This is a word of encouragement for you, Eric," or "This is a word of affirmation for you," or "Listen up, this is a rebuke for you," or "This is a challenge for you," or "This is a correction for you." So Paul's message here to Timothy and to you and me is, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word, especially the powerful message of grace and endurance found in 2 Timothy 2, 1-13. Lord, we recognize that we, like Timothy, are called to be strong in your grace, to commit ourselves to the faithful, and to endure hardship as good soldiers of Christ. Help us to remember that if we die with you, we will live with you. If we endure, we will reign with you. And may we never forget that if we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.